I'm Jeremy Helton, and this is the fourth installment of Audioboom's exclusive Q&A with the creators of Undisclosed. Susan Simpson is back to answer more questions about the case of Adnan Syed. Our first question comes from Tom Olson. He wants to know, will Asia McClain's testimony about Adnan's alibi stand up to cross-examination?
Based on the facts that I've seen, yes. I don't know if there's more out there. I don't know if they have something that we don't. But there is nothing that I've seen that would make me concerned for her testimony standing up. And is it possible she has the wrong day? Yeah, of course it is. But given that the prosecution's witnesses definitely had the wrong day in several instances, the fact she might possibly have the wrong day, but can't be proven to have the wrong day, doesn't make her testimony worthless.
This question comes from Emily Lewis. I don't understand why Gutierrez allowed witnesses to change their stories or say they didn't remember facts to which they'd already testified. Was this the biggest weakness in Gutierrez's defense of Adnan?
Witnesses can change their story. They often do. But what you do then, it's called impeachment, where you confront the witness with their prior statements and say, well, here's what you said then. Why did you change? Or which one's the truth? And to some extent, she did do that a couple of times, but there's at least three or four occasions, like with Debbie, where the witness changes her story in a way that was unfavorable to Adnan, and Gutierrez does nothing. She doesn't even seem to realize that there's been a change, let alone be prepared enough to say, on this page of your prior statement, you said X, did you not? So you can confront a witness when they've tried to backtrack or say they've forgotten, but she didn't do it here.
Tim Christian wonders, how is it that Don's alibi, which is only apparently supported by his mother, was never fully investigated by Christina Gutierrez?
You know, it's not even really supported by his mother so much. We don't know what happened. All we know is that they never talked to anyone at that store, and they never even checked the records themselves. Gutierrez did investigate it. She's the only one who did, because the police, the prosecution, they never got those records. No one ever pulled them until October 99, which was right before the first scheduled trial date, when she filed a subpoena to get them. When she first filed a subpoena against to LensCrafters, they produced records that did not show that Dawn had worked on the 13th. They just weren't there. What happened was that Yurik, the prosecutor, then contacted LensCrafters. We know that because of a letter they wrote to him, where the paralegal who wrote it says, this is to confirm our conversation earlier. And suddenly, the next day, LensCrafters can magically produce work records for Dawn, showing him worked on the 13th. Even though previously, when they first responded to the subpoena, apparently completely, there were no records showing that. So, that's all we know at this point, because no one else looked further into it.
Tim also wants to know, is it bizarre that Dawn didn't try to contact Hay immediately after she disappeared?
Not that bizarre, because it seems like a lot of people, it seems like almost everyone there, didn't really pay close attention to what was going on. Jay's role was not well known, even among Adnan's friends. I was talking to Krista, and she was saying how, until Cyril came out, They did not know all of this stuff. They didn't know it. They hadn't realized what exactly Jay's role was supposed to be. They hadn't realized how he'd changed his story. They hadn't realized some of the more off-the-wall details that were going on. So Don's not the only one who didn't, for instance, even know that Jay was involved. And Don's failure to contact Hay is the same as Adnan's. I mean, what's he going to do to contact her? He could have paged her. He may have paged her. We don't know. He may have forgotten that he paged her. But he's not going to call home because they've already heard from her home and they know she's not there. So there's no point in calling the house. I mean, yes, it's a little bit odd, kind of, but I don't really think it's unusual enough to call it suspicious. Yeah. And he could have been emailing her. He could have been trying to message her. We don't know because no one ever checked or asked.
Isn't it also strange that he says he didn't keep track of Adnan's trial?
Well, he was the witness, so he couldn't, one, he couldn't watch, and two, he was supposed to, you know, stay independent and not have his testimony tainted by knowledge of what everyone else was saying. So it's totally expected that he would not have been following the trial or know what was happening during the trial. Afterwards, he could have gone back and tracked down transcripts, I guess, but it's a lot of effort, and unlikely he would have done that.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to tune in on Friday for the final installment of our exclusive Q&A with the producers. This is Audio Boom.